Hey folks, Captain Kevin Favor, and welcome to the Outdoor Show podcast brought to you by Ag South. They are specialists in land financing in Southeast Georgia. They make loans for small and large acreage, hunting property, timberland. They even do home mortgages and construction. Look, if you've listened to our show long enough, you know Jeff and I own property in Georgia. We both used Ag South for our financing, and they were great, and we couldn't be happier. Here's a cool part about Ag South. They have competitive rates, and they pay an average of 25% of the interest back every year in patronage. So let's just say your loan's for $300,000 at 6.5% at 20 years. That means you get back $2,770 a year. They write you a check for that. You call them at 844-AG-SOUTH or go to agsouthfc.com. Ag South, really good people who really know land.
Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
I'm going to take you fishing, honey. You're going to love it.
Brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL. Here's Captain Kevin Favor and Captain Scott Shank.
Good evening and welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. And okay.
It's raining.
It's been a great day.
Yep.
It's raining. But dude, I'm ready for March.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm.
The next 3 days, dude. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
it's gonna get cold.
No, it's gonna get cold. Which I'm okay. I'm okay with cold right now. Yeah, you know, I was telling Kerry today. I'm not ready for hot weather yet. Anyway,
because then Tuesday's gonna be 85. Again.
Yeah, I know, and you know as well as I do. All of a sudden, it's just gonna be like,
yep,
blazing hot. Yep. I mean. What Memorial Day last year was like one of the hottest mm-hmm. flipping weeks of the year. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready for that yet. I'm still enjoying my long sleeve but I am tired of rain. I'm done with it.
Well, you could probably hear me. I mean, I don't know what's been going on, if it's sinuses or what.
Well, the
temperature's going up, the pollen is just, I mean, I sprayed the boat off last night getting ready to go.
And you sprayed it up again, yeah.
And oh my God. Gosh, yeah. I mean, I walked around the back, you know, because I was just kind of getting the pollen off, and I went, oh, my God, it's like yellow coming out of the bottom of my boat.
Terrible.
What fluid am I leaking?
It's terrible. Yeah, so. I like I said, I'm ready for just some – I'm not ready for it to get hot. I'm ready for some springtime weather, and I'm ready for –
No, let's just use this word. I'm ready for it to stabilize.
Stabilize, exactly. Yeah, I am too.
2 days on, 3 days off, it sucks.
Yep, because you know what, I know that we've talked about this the last couple of weeks, and I'll talk about it again. The fishing this February is way better than it was last February. Way better.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, even though we've had more rain this year, I believe, because we did have some rain last year, too. But I don't think we had anything here in Northeast Florida what we've had this year.
No.
But, you know, it's the fishing has continued to be very mm-hmm. good. I mean, when you have – the right tides, and folks, we're basically talking about inshore fishing right now. I mean, none of us have gotten offshore. The bay boaters are not fishing offshore yet. I know that the Wahoo shootout's going on, and they've caught some big fish. As a matter of fact, a guy on a bay boat caught, what, a 92
mm-hmm. out of a 25 Pathfinder.
Dude, that's amazing, by the way.
Hey, if I could ever walk up there and he says who he was, trust me, I'm going to take my hat and tip him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here you go. Good job.
Yeah, I'm gonna shake his hand.
Because I don't want no part of that.
Yeah, yeah. So,
because it hasn't been that pretty.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, that day he went, still had to be 2-4.
Yeah, so for the most part, you know, the fishing that we're talking about is either going to be surf fishing, which is just so slow this time of year. You know, if you talk to experts like Coon, they will tell you, go south.
Dude, they've been rocking it. New Smyrna.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, my gosh. A good friend of mine is a commercial fisherman that whiting fishes.
Uh-huh.
And it's not Larry Finch, it's another one. But Larry's been doing it, too. And, dude, he's come by the house and shown me whiting.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if they had a dot on their tail, they would have been a redfish.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, some studs. Just straight up studs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and you can follow that real easy. If you get that temperature chart,
exactly.
You know, and when you look at that where the blue water is, obviously that means it's cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when it gets red, green.
A little bit of greenish patch into the yellow, and it's actually sitting right around Ormond Beach right now.
It's sitting around, which is not that far.
No, that's where, I mean, he hasn't caught a pompano.
Right.
But the whiting bite is just off the chart.
I talked to Minyard, Captain Larry Minyard today. We were talking turkey hunting. But we did get into the conversation about fishing, and he, we talked to Captain Leon Dana about this, and you. He's like, the pompano bite in the ditch has been ridiculous.
It's weird. I've not caught one yet, and I've been fishing the right stuff to catch one.
Right, but they've been doing very well. Mm-hmm. Did you see that triple tail?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see a picture of
him?
Mm-hmm. 12 pounds?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
In the ditch.
That was 2 weeks ago.
In the ditch.
Yeah, in the ditch. Yeah.
And 2 weeks ago, that water temperature was still right there harboring.
Right.
59, 61 degrees, 62 degrees.
Yep. So, like I said, fishing's good. I mean, you went today.
I went today. It went in on a bad tide. I mean, as bad as it possibly can.
Because you knew the weather this afternoon was going to be.
And I told Mr. Jefferson there's nothing we could do. It's either now or never.
Right.
And left the dock at 8. Tide incoming. With about 2 hours left to go.
Of the incoming, oh,
which turned into 3.5 hours of the incoming.
Uh-huh.
By 11:30, I think it finally switched on us. And all that was visible were mangrove bushes.
Uh-huh.
That was it. But with that being said, I mean, I stayed around docks. I stayed around rock piles and stuff like that, mm-hmm. deep holes in the middle of the river. And, I mean, honestly, you know.
Had a pretty good day.
I had a great day. Nice yellowmouth trout, nice speckled trout. I had one really nice flounder, a sheephead, you know, a bunch of short, you know, other.
No redfish, though. Not a redfish tide. Yep. Mm-hmm. Not a redfish tide.
I heard of one redfish being caught today, and it was caught on top water.
that would make
sense.
And
the guy wanted a lure fish. Captain Mike Cascio caught one. Well, I lied. Rob Bennett caught one, too, down in Matanzas. But he was fishing the inlet in Matanzas. Our inlet is as dirty can be.
I spent five seconds
on the rocks and left.
That stinks.
When you pull up.
For this time of year, man, it should be crystal clear.
That should be crystal clear and a sheephead bite out there. And that's what I was all excited about.
Right, yeah.
And speak of, I don't know if we're going to be able to go out the North Jetty too much longer.
Really, is it getting bad?
Dude, it was huge. And it was a real. And again, anyhow, this morning. What a gorgeous day up until
it was beautiful
about
10:30,
quarter 11, and then northwest picked up and just started smoking.
Yeah, but it was pretty this morning. But
gosh, it was gorgeous this morning.
Was it nasty bad?
Yes.
Yeah. It looked like a nat kind of day.
That
humid, mm-hmm. you know, overcast, warm. You know, people always think that gnats are bad in the summertime. They're nothing compared to wintertime. Nothing compared to wintertime.
Because I pulled up on along the Guana Bank right there.
Yeah.
And I mean, you couldn't stay. I mean, it was just that bad.
They were that bad?
Uh-huh.
A lot of fish here, guys, but we got to go.
Dude, I went up there, dropped the trolling motor, turned back around, and my whole face was just covered with them. I just turned back around, pulled the trolling motor up, said, let's go.
There's nothing more miserable. Water temperature?
63 degrees.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's why they're biting.
62.9.
You know, that's why they're biting. Simply for the fact that, you know, I know that...
If I would have had the tide, I would have felt much better.
Oh, of course. Of course. That's a, you know...
I had today was basically a trout tide.
Yeah.
You know, and I knew if I could go and fish
a few docks... And honestly, yellowmouth kind of a bonus.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
It was. And
yeah.
There were some
nice
good
ones. Yeah, some really nice ones. I hope that we have the springtime fishery of yellowmouth
mm-hmm.
that we have had in the past. You know, I mean, it does seem cyclical on the yellowmouth, but we haven't had a really good yellowmouth bite. I mean,
and there's so much fun to catch. Nothing against it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, four-wheel drive against a little station wagon kind of thing.
Yeah.
They will pull a speckled trout back.
They fight twice as hard.
It's incredible. As soon as you hook them and they start barking drag on a 14-inch fish, you go, a good yellowmouth right there. Just stay tight on them.
Yeah, and to kind of explain to folks what I'm talking about, most of the time, when you get on a yellowmouth trout bite, I mean, a good school, you'll catch 50.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally. I mean, it's not speckled trout are kind of different. You know, you'll catch 5 or 6 fast, and all of a sudden they just kind of move.
Yep.
But yellowmouth have a tendency to hang around structure.
Mm-hmm.
And when those big schools get around there,
They like shell bottom.
Love
shell bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. Or a piece of rock yep. or you know, something like that.
You lift that shrimp up off the bottom and he knocks like 4 feet of slack in your line, and you go, "What the heck was that? It ain't the current. You better start reeling."
Right, right, yeah.
Where a speckled trout is more of a bite where he just knocks the absolute fire out of
right.
it.
Right, absolutely. That's what I'm talking about. And we haven't had that kind of bite. And also springtime within 4 or 5 miles of the beach, I mean, the yellowmouth trout bite's unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
I mean, all of our live bottoms, the wrecks that we have close within, you know, like I said, 4 to 6 miles, that's an incredible fishery. Incredible. I mean, we get some big fish, too.
Yeah, he didn't want a bunch of fish, so we kept 4 of those.
Perfect.
And we kept, flounder was 3, 3.5, good flounder. And all the yellowmouth trout were full mm-hmm. row.
Yeah. Yep. Now, question for you.
Go ahead.
On the yellowmouth, number one bait today.
Throw nothing but shrimp all day.
Do nothing but shrimp?
Yeah.
Because the one thing that I have found that they love, especially the bigger ones, is a big old fat mud minnow.
Uh-huh.
They love a mud minnow.
And themselves. If you catch like a 12-inch one, because there is no size limit.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You knock the side of them, make like a little strip off of it, and mm-hmm. throw it out there.
You're right.
Dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
They won't last. I can promise you. They'll eat it faster than they will eat that shrimp.
Certainly.
And it's amazing. When you threw that shrimp out there, if you just let it, like, go with the current
mm-hmm.
and just, like, fumble, they didn't like it. But, boy, once you lifted that shrimp up and let it hit the bottom again, lift them up 6 inches, hit the bottom again, I mean, they chili-whopped the heck out of it.
And you probably could have caught them on artificials if that's the way they were biting.
There's no doubt in my mind I couldn't have thrown
right.
a paddle tail or something or a curly tail, you know, and catch them, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, let's take a quick break here on the Mo Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Give us a call, 641-1010. Captain Scott, and I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back
the money.
To the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I'm Captain Kevin Baber,
nice,
sitting
Michael.
In with Captain Scott Shank. And I do believe that next week we go back to our original time, which is Thursday from 7 to 8.
Yes.
Which is my favorite time slot for the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
Because that helps everybody.
That's right. That's
Friday,
right.
Saturday, Sunday.
Yep.
Wednesday, you're yep. kind of out here because we got fronts been rolling through, so we're not, like, dialed in.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? I mean, let's go bring up Captain Chip Wingo if he's still there. Hey, buddy.
What's happening, guys?
You know, I mean, honestly, Chip, you know, we'll do this show 52 weeks out of the year. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, fishing season really starts next month.
Yep.
You know,
it's good. It's good right now too, though. Like you guys were saying, when you get the weather,
it is.
Yeah,
yeah. No, good. It is. I mean, that's the cool thing. January, February have been pretty good, pretty good.
Yeah, we really can't complain. We didn't have a harsh winter this year.
No,
which I kind of wish we would have had a little bit more cold, because those gnats lit me up quite a few times last
Woo-hoo!
Week.
Son, I look like I had the measles today.
I could use to lose the pounds, but I don't want to give it up to them. So, you know, so it's been pretty interesting. You said something, Scotty. You caught a nice flounder today.
Yep.
Yeah, they've been around quite a bit. You know, they're still around because we had one that was, I think, almost 4 pounds. So,
yeah, what was crazy? He was under a dock. I really didn't plan on him being there. And that was actually the first fish my client caught. And it was like, I'm watching a rod tip, like, bounce. And I'm going, it ain't a sheephead. It ain't a redfish. What the heck is it? You know, and up comes. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a solid 17, 18-inch fish. I went, cool.
First fish. You remember
is it? Is that? Hang on just for a second. Is that any sign, any indication?
No.
Of what the summertime's going to be?
No.
No, I don't think so either.
No.
No. I don't think so either.
No.
Yeah.
I mean,
come on, Menier catches a triple tail 2 weeks ago. Does that mean we're going to catch a bunch of
triple
tail?
Dude, that thing was, oh, gosh, what a stud.
Yeah, 12 pounds? How many 12-pound triple tails have you caught?
None. I think the biggest triple tail I ever caught was 5 or 6 pounds.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
What's your biggest triple tail, Chip?
18.
Wow.
In Canaveral.
Really?
In Canaveral. Yeah, those old buoy bass. So those things are, I mean, that's kind of cheating, though. They're huge down there.
Yeah.
You know?
I think I got so many buoys to fish, too.
You got me by a pound. I caught one that was 17.
Really?
Did you catch him off the bottom offshore?
No. I caught him in the damn intercoastal.
Oh, wow.
And it was so funny because I was talking to Larry about his triple tail. And he said, Kevin, he said, the first time it came up, he said, oh, my God. He said, I grabbed the net. He said, I thought it was the biggest flounder I've ever seen in my life. And I said, Larry, I did the exact same thing. Doug Wenzel caught it.
Really?
Yeah. And we were just fishing a pilon. I'll tell you exactly which pilon it was. It was the green pilon right there in Kawana.
No kidding.
You know, by the tree line.
That's where I couldn't fish today because the nets were so bad.
Yeah. But we were – he dropped down the pilon with a live mullet.
Really?
And hooked that fish, and I was like, what the world is that, you know? And when it came up and turned sideways, you know, they got that same color as a flounder, and I went, holy cow. And then when he got it up and I netted it, I went, holy cow, yeah. What a triple tail.
21 pounds, I heard, was a friend of mine that caught it in St. Augustine Inlet. Well, right in as you're going into Salt Run, Chippy.
Yep.
And they were actually tarpon fishing.
Uh-huh.
And it ate like a freaking 8-inch mullet.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I know there was a big one caught behind what's the island called? The marine supply ship is, Blood Island. There was one caught back there last year that was over 20 pounds.
Oh, really? So,
yeah.
Unreal.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's always a surprise guest when they show up. You know, it's one of my favorite fish. They're fun to target if you can actually target them on the crab traps, but you know how that goes. It gets a little busy out there, so.
Yeah, and I'm so with you because I can promise you starting the end of March, because that's when I start going offshore. I know for a fact that they're out there in February and March. But end of March, whenever I start, you know, whether I'm going sea bass fishing or cobia fishing or flounder fishing, I buy a dozen shrimp every day, and I've got that Cajun Thunder with that 1-aught or 2-aught kale hook and, you know, 25-pound fluorocarbon. Ready.
Well, you remember all them grass bats we used to pass out there?
Yeah.
And, you know, they'd have trash built up in them. You know, and it was. I mean, a fun day one year. There wasn't a big ones, but.
Yeah, but man, who cares?
Dude, like 10 or 12 of them, and they jump out of the water. I mean, it's so much fun.
Yeah, I love it. I'm with you, Chip. I mean, if we had that as a, you know, true fishery, that would be awesome. Because, you know, they do up in.
Georgia, they've got them. Pretty
well, Cabin Bluff, so that's close to, Jekyll Island?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
phenomenal fishery for them up there, guys.
Have you done that before?
Oh, yeah. I've been up there several times. They'll get on the north side of Jekyll Island, the grass, just like redfish. And you could just cruise up, and then you'll see them. There's some great guides up there that target them, too, on fly, and, you know, and they go out after them, and it's just a fun place to fish, especially up there. You'll have a lot of 5-pounders, and then you'll have, all of a sudden, you'll see a stud, you know, but they're all over the grass. I think they spawn up there.
They do. That's exactly right.
They have two good runs
they spawn
of them.
There. Yeah.
They got two great runs of fish up there for them. So, but, well, it should be interesting to see how the rest of the week plays out.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, it's going to be Sunday morning. It'll be a little chilly. So, but,
yeah. And just here's the starting Friday. The forecast looks beautiful on Friday. Northwest 5 to 10, becoming west-west, southwest at 10 to 15 in the afternoon. Saturday 15 to 20.
I know.
Out of the west, brutal. Northwest. Sunday looks beautiful. And again, keep in mind it's Wednesday, you know. Especially this time of year, you know, you just don't know. North-northeast 5 to 10 on Sunday. It says seas 2 to 3, and then back to south, southeast Sunday night, 5 to 10 knots, becoming south southwest after midnight, seas 1 to 2. So, wow, that forecast looks good.
Yeah, I'm
like
hoping.
I was saying about the North Jetty, somebody's got to ride out there when the seas are calm and just check that depth on high water. Because I'm telling you, those waves coming in are white water, and they were like 8 feet tall.
I mean, do you think it's filled in?
Yes, I think it is. And it stretched all the way out. There was no, how there used to be, like, because it really wasn't nothing. It was a west-northwest this morning.
Right.
But it just had built up over it. But there, you could not see the defined run, you know, where the waves would stack over here, right. But then it would turn into a swell, then break again. They would broke all the way across.
And, Chip, I hate that because that's always been such a big advantage.
Yeah, because at that end, like you get a hard outgoing tide and east-southeast in the afternoon.
Just a typical east-southeast.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're screwed.
Yeah.
It's going to be 4 foot coming through there.
Yep.
Yeah, that's never fun. That makes for a long ride out and around.
Oh, that's a bad way to start your day.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, because you're going to get wet.
yeah, absolutely you're going to get wet. There's no doubt. But I'm just curious. You talked about next week, Chip. My God, the weather looks unbelievable next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's remember how we used to have the TBC weather? It'd be beautiful right before it, and it would come and blow. You know, I'm hoping that we have those, you know, a really good couple weeks, you know, and then, you know, because we always had that last, it was like that last blow in March, you know, or it blows all March.
That's what, you know. Those hard freezes in March are the worst ones for the trees, for the fish, for everything. You know, I mean, it's not a big deal to get a hard freeze in February.
No,
you know what I mean.
I'm fine with it. I mean, that's Mother Nature. That's wintertime.
Right,
that's what we do.
Right. But when everything kind of warms up and then all of a sudden you get a true hard freeze in March, I feel terrible for the farmers, everybody, man, because they lose all the blooms on their trees.
Yep.
But the one thing that I like, and I'm sitting here looking at it right now, Chip, is for the next two weeks, there's only one little chance of rain.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
And that's the tail end of next week.
Yeah, all from today all the way through Wednesday the 11th, there's one day with a chance of rain.
I think it's Friday the 7th. I think it's like 40%, right?
It's Thursday the 5th. So, okay. That's the 5th. I'm just saying that it doesn't look like there's a lot of fronts coming down right now, Chip, and hopefully that'll clear our water back up. And you know,
it was so pretty a week ago.
I know. It was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
It was so pretty. I'm with you. So, Chip, can we throw top water plugs yet?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We've had good blow-ups on them. Had a few miscues. I mean, the subsurface is working much better right now.
Right.
But they're still there. Like, you get these high, you know, a decent calm morning, even just a ripple on it right now, I would throw them all day long, especially at high water, you know.
Okay. So
like, if you got to start in the morning.
Right, 63 degrees water temperature, your favorite water temperature. Because you know what? Here's the deal. Fish don't know if it's the end of February, March, or April. All they know is the water temperature. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
So, what's your if when you launch the boat at 6 a.m. in the morning and you're going to throw for a big trout or you know, redfish on top of water, give me and it doesn't have to be the temperature, but give me a range.
I'd say from 62 maybe to 65, 68 to start, you know, in that area. That's a big fluctuation.
Right.
But if you notice what it's done lately, it's gone, it went all the way up to 71, then dropped all the way back down to 61, you know, in a matter of a couple of days, and then went back up.
Yeah.
You know, I know that's got to put a shock on them, but, you know, they got to feed too. So, you know, and I'm seeing, when I see the mullet moving around, and even when it's cold and the mullet are moving strong, they're not just kind of hugging the bank and barely moving.
Yep.
And, you know, you can throw a topwater plug because they're getting up, so. You know, it's
there's plenty been some of real good fish on caught on this them. Morning. Yeah,
yeah, that's good stuff. And you know, the other thing, if people are working topwater plugs, let's just say because again, if you went tomorrow morning and it's going to be cold, all right,
and
you start off in the morning, and as obviously the temperature rises, but when you're starting off early in the morning, work that bait slow, man. Mm-hmm. I mean. I have fished with guys, Chip, that are much better topwater fishermen than me, and they'll work a top dog like tick, tick.
And it'll stay almost in the same spot.
Tick. I'm like, yeah. I'm like tick, 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 tick,
and
tick.
And I travel
tick.
It.
Yeah, you know, and they're barely moving. And I'm like, really? And they're like, oh, yeah. And because, you know, again, the fish are cold and they want to feed, but they don't want to, like in giant attack mode yet, you know?
So they don't want to move 5-10 feet to eat it. They want to get it right above them. So.
Right. I mean, that's the same thing we always tell people with not to cut you off, with jig heads. You know, when it's cold, you know, honestly, that redfish isn't going to swim over there 10 feet to eat that shrimp. That bait's got to bounce right in front of him, and he's going to eat it. So if you're twitching it and doing all kinds of other stuff, you're not going to get a bite.
And it takes numerous casts on one oyster bed, if you know what you're doing. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I mean, that's why I tell everybody, there's 25-foot of boat here. You should be able to cover 50 feet of this oyster bed.
Right.
You know, if you throw for
it. Yeah,
exactly. Okay, you cast it right there. Well, don't throw back in the same spot. Move over 2 feet and do it again, you know, and then just cover that whole line. It's a lot easier.
Yeah, they're so much fun, even when they don't, when they miss it.
Oh, yeah. That's that absolutely. No, there's no question.
I love the hole in the water. I don't care.
Oh,
that excites me.
Oh, God. Oh, my heart just goes, did you see that?
Really?
Yeah,
really?
Gets your heart racing.
Yep. Have you had any problem finding any bait? All the bait shops good?
No, not at all. And like I said, the last couple times I went, we really haven't used any. You know, throwing subsurface lures, throwing the fish bites curly tail on jig heads and, you know, topwaters and stuff like that. And mainly the swim baits are doing the best work right now. And like you said, same with the topwater, working them slow. So it's, but it's been so productive. You know, when a client says, hey, can we throw artificials? I'm like, absolutely. I mean, I'd rather throw artificials.
Yep.
You know, we can cover a lot more ground or water, you know.
Yep.
And
Scott and I were talking about that. I'm sure you listened earlier in the show. You know, you got on a pretty good bite of yellowmouth trout. And I asked him, I said, do you think that if you had thrown artificials, you'd have caught fish? He goes, probably caught more.
Yeah. Well, what's so funny, the gentleman I had today was from Ocean City, Maryland. Mm-hmm. So we had a good time talking white marlin fish. And anyhow, he was not a great caster. He owns a tackle business and everything. And he was of course, I got a pick at him all day. So it was like, he says, Scott, he said, we fish bays. I mean, we fish in 40 feet of water, catching flounder, stripers, the weak fish, you know, all that kind of stuff.
They're clicking the button.
It's all conventional. He said, we don't cast because, I mean, I literally – Chip, I taught it, you know, I had Papa Corks on. I said, okay, I want you to work, you know, this line of the grass. And, you know, it travels 15 feet. And I, you know, my old famous saying is, I remember my first cast. And I went, dude, really? You're 62 years old? I remember my first cast. You know, I said, throw that damn thing.
My line is, and it's just dry sense of humor. I'm like, you need to throw it a little further.
Yeah.
And they look.
I always,
you know, especially when they like slap it.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
Or when they forget to open up the bail.
Oh yeah. Oh
and
yeah.
Then I go, my grandson does better than that. Or I made someone, you know, just picking on him. But anyhow. But yeah, it was so funny because Chip, he fishes all deep water up at Ocean City.
Sure.
It's all bays. There's no intercoastal at Ocean City, Maryland.
And Chip, I know we need to take a break, but I'm sure you run into that a lot because we talked a lot about fly fishing on the outdoor show on Saturday. And a lot of stream fishermen, fly fishermen, come down here, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I know how to throw a fly rod." Well, really, no, you don't.
No.
I mean, you know how to fish a stream.
You got
to
punch it here.
Yeah. I mean,
they know how to present a fly,
right?
But they don't know how to throw it,
right? Yeah, exactly. You know? I mean, that was always whenever. This was a long time ago when I was running fly fishing charters.
Right.
I was like, sir, you got to throw it more than 15 feet.
Yeah. But if you watch them, though, you know when it's a fly fisherman, when you watch them, especially throw a pop of cork in current, you can see how he'll mend his line.
Absolutely. When they're throwing spinning rod.
When they're throwing spinning rods, you go, he's got this.
Yep. All right, brother, we got to go. Good talking to you.
All right. See you.
Thanks, buddy.
See you.
See ya.
Captain Chip Wingo checking in on the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. If you want to give us a call, 641-1010. I think we'll talk to Captain Leon Dana when we come back and talk a little bit further to the south than what Captain Chip Wingo fishes. We'll be right back.
This is the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I was just trying to think, who is that? Who's that, Michael?
It's the Beatles.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's the Beatles.
Dummy. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, folks. Not there. But anyhow.
Come on, man.
Hey, Captain Leon.
Here's the deal, Michael. He's the one who requested for the music, and he doesn't even know.
I asked for Skinner.
Ridiculous.
Oh, man.
Hey, don't look at me. I didn't know it.
Yeah.
That's way before my time.
No,
the Beatles?
Oh, yeah, the Beatles before my time. I'm only 47. So,
I'm 22.
I was a pinhead.
It's the Beatles, Leon, for God's sake.
Yeah, but how many songs do they have? Like 600? You know, I wouldn't know them all.
No, I'm with you. I'm a little older than you today. But
it is. Yes, it's Kevin's birthday today, boys.
Yeah.
Right, buddy,
happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Nothing else I'd rather be doing than talking fishing.
Yeah.
Yep. That is true.
We got cake and candles downstairs when we get done.
It beats the alternative.
I was thinking what was in the bottle. I was
I'm sorry.
That's after the show.
It's right? After the show.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
It's your birthday.
Yep. Today's your birthday.
The coolest thing I got today, Leon. Is I woke up early, and before I got to my phone, I saw that somebody had sent me a video, and it was my 3-year-old granddaughter singing me happy birthday on her way to preschool.
That is the greatest thing in the world.
I'm like, dude.
That's off.
It was.
Birthday to you.
Sing it, Leon.
Last person on earth you want to hear me sing.
Yeah, trust me, I'm with
Scotty
you.
Right now, the way he sounds tonight.
Yeah.
I know, I lost my voice again.
What day was it the wind was blowing and Leon was sending us pictures?
Today's
it was last
what?
Week sometime.
Today's Wednesday. It had to be Monday, right?
It was Saturday.
No, it was Saturday.
I took a picture because I canceled on Friday. I had a two-day charter with a client, and they begged me, and they said, we have to go Saturday.
Oh, that's right. That's the day you canceled.
I canceled. I went down and looked at Augusta Hill. No,
that's right. I'm looking at those pictures, and I'm going, first off, his butt is cold. Here's my second thought, Leon. I was thinking, if that dude sends me a picture of two 27-inch reds, I'm going to think, you know what? He's got this figured out. But he sends a text
at the end of the day,
and he goes, "Not a bite,
not
got it."
Just
expression on his face.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I was really afraid of his dogs when he got home that he was going to like just beat
Leon
him or something.
Why? Why do people want to? You know, why do people want to do that? Look, I get it, man. You book these days, and you're fired up. But I always try to put myself in my client's position. You know,
right.
They're spending the money.
Right.
You know.
Because here's the deal. Seriously, Carrie and I fish with Leon.
Uh-huh.
We fish with Chip. We fish with you. I mean, we love going and doing these days because we're all pretty slow, basically December, January, February. Yep. So we all try to get together and go fishing. But listen, even with that one, when – honestly, I'm not paying you, but if the weather's not going to be right, I don't want to go.
No.
But now you got a guy that's paying you for that?
For 30 knots, 25, 30 knots of wind and never backed off.
It's miserable.
I can tell you exactly how hard it was blowing. It was coming out of the north. I was heading down the intracoastal waterway at 24.7 miles per hour, heading dead south, and it was still. But you know what I'm saying? So you're heading south, but there's no wind on your face. I mean, you can literally look and talk to each other, and there's no wind found around us whatsoever.
So it's 25 miles an hour.
25 miles per hour. And then when I came home and I took that photo and I sent it to you, I was going 51 into it. So that makes it 76. I was getting hammered, and you saw the look on my face. It wasn't happy. I mean, I swear up and down.
It was priceless.
Guys, I don't. What's that?
You know, I mean, seriously, when I was young, and when I say young, I'm talking 12, 13, 14, 15 to 20 years old, whatever. Dude, I'd fish at anything.
Yeah.
Okay? I would. I really would. And I, to this day, I love to fish, man.
Mom were hell-bent they wanted to go Saturday.
No, what I'm saying is that, but I know, I've done this long enough to know that it ain't going to be fun. And it's right. And the fish aren't going to bite. You know what I mean?
Can I interrupt?
Yeah, sure.
All three of us I know are going to agree with this. Why can't anybody, when if a captain don't want to go and get paid,
right.
is that telling you anything
yeah.
by far? Right. I'm just asking.
Yeah, because we're all broke this time of
yeah.
year.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I told him. I said, hell, I said, yeah, meet me at the dock because I'm going to push the boat off and I'm going to catch pinfish and catfish right in Comanche Cove because I ain't going out the end of
right.
the jetties, I can promise you, but I'll take you. And my famous saying is, Leon, in those winds like that, I said, I'll tell you what. Before I get all the rods, buy a bunch of bait, get the boat loaded, I said, where are you staying? Well, it'll tell me. I said, I'm coming to you. Well, why is that? I said, I'm going to put you in the bed of my truck. If you can bounce a 3/8 ounce jig head off my hood as I do 20 miles an hour down the road, we'll go. And then they go. Then they finally go, you know what?
We're getting
the
point
here. Yeah, I
think
you're right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, dude. You know, if the captain don't want to go, it's pretty much a good sign
but
that you don't need to go.
Let me play devil's advocate here.
Go ahead.
Leon, been doing this long enough that had that attitude, you know, and I'm like, man, I don't want to go. But they want to go. And you go out and you blister them.
I know.
There
you know,
has
and you're
been
like,
a few days in 7 years, 6-7 years that I've actually pulled that off. Where
yeah.
I look back inside myself and I don't say it out loud and I go, oh my God, I can't believe we did that today.
Yeah.
But that
exactly.
Saturday, after two
yep.
hours, they looked at me and they said, we've had enough. Please
exactly.
take us back. And I go, not a problem.
Yeah,
I mean, that was
right.
just a beating.
Yep. Yep.
Whew,
yep.
Thanks for the memory.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because we do the same thing with going offshore.
Yeah.
You know, we'll try, you know, and Leon, you know me, I'm never the first guy out the inlet. I kind of like to let everybody.
You are so bad. You are such a lazy dog.
I do.
You
kinda,
are so lazy.
I lay back, you know, and just kind of let them go and listen to the radio. And
hey, Scotty, uh-huh. text me when you get out there and let me know where the bait's at. You know, I'm pulling out at 7:30. He says, I got you till 9, you know, the last few days. Just wait till 8:15, 8:30, and, you know, and I'll leave and I'll go. And the sad thing is, I'm out there for an hour
uh-huh.
looking for bait. And what does he do? Rolls right out the inlet, throws it at one time, and gets on the radio just to piss me off and go, hey, you want to meet me at 4 Mile? I caught bait for both of us. I went, you so now I've been out here throwing my guts out for an hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. But my point is that
you'd be
know,
throwing
when,
longer
when
was throwing the net.
Yeah, absolutely. When you hear the Jody Lynn turn around,
uh-huh. That's pretty much
yeah.
the sign.
You know, and they're like, dude, you don't want anything. You don't want anything to that ocean today. And you know, I look at my guys and go, listen, a 42-foot sport fisherman just turned around
just
the inlet and said,
around.
You know, and they're like, well, let's go look at it. I'm like, okie dokie. if that's what you
boy.
Want, you know, then, you know, I always tell them, the captain and the boat can take it, you know, but when you make that first turn in the north cut and it's stacked and they're breaking. And you're like, hang on, guys. And you look at them, and they're like, really don't want to do this.
Well, you put me in position
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
I got to go through
it. I got to go.
Get
yeah.
back around.
Yeah. yeah.
I don't care
yeah.
how gung-ho you are. We bit this bullet. We have to ride it through now.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, you don't turn around in the middle of the inlet. That's absolutely not. So, Leon, besides Saturday, it looks like the fishing has been pretty good this week.
It's been in my honest opinion, it's been decent. My water temperature is fluctuating between 61 and 64 degrees.
Yep.
I've only been throwing mud minnows. I did buy some fiddlers, but I did not was not able
why,
to fish.
Why just mud minnows?
You know, because all the trout that I've been catching, the yellow trout, the speckled trout, the flounder, and the redfish. Let me put it to you this way. I don't have separate live wells. So if I put shrimp in my mud minnow tank, it looks like something out of the movie 300 in there after an hour. You know, so every shrimp is just absolutely brutally cut
annihilated.
Annihilated. That's a good word to say.
That's
it's
a
just
great
a
analogy,
bloodbath
by the way.
Live
yeah.
Hey, can I give you a little tidbit of information on that? If you buy a float troll bucket, put your mud minnows in a float troll and stick them in the live well with you. They're fine.
Yeah, but I don't have that big of a live well in the Maverick. A float troll is pretty big. But, you know,
well,
I could
they sell them little red ones that are like $2. You can do the same thing by putting four or five dozen in there.
But the mud minnows have just been working great for everything that I've been throwing. I've been throwing them primarily just on jig heads. You know, quarter ounce jig heads. But except for Saturday, I used a half ounce jig head with a 1 ounce.
I was going to say, did you use a half ounce finally?
Yeah. Did you ever find that 3 ounce jig head?
No, I did not. I know an ounce and a half didn't stay on the bottom. Saturday.
Holy cow! Yeah, and you know we were talking about that earlier show. You know, when I get on those yellowmouth trout, either around structure or especially off the beach, you know that 3 to 5 mile, I'll buy the biggest, baddest mud minnows, and they absolutely, a yellowmouth trout loves a mud minnow. So just something for folks to keep in mind.
I think
I can tell you
more
this.
Than a shrimp does, to be honest with you.
Kevin, Palm Valley has got mighty, mighty mud minnows. And I'm telling you, if they don't feed them after 1 or 2 days, you better be careful sticking your hands in that tank because one of them is going to take a swag at you. I mean, these are some chunky monkeys that, I mean, we're talking here. I mean, they're the biggest, baddest mud minnows. And I mean, when you throw them out there, and I've had clients throw it out there and they go, oh, I'm getting a bite. I go, that's your mud minnow swimming there.
Mud minnow pulling drag.
Yeah, that's your mud minnow pulling. Well, I thought that was a bite. Now, that's your bait. I mean, these are some chunky monkeys.
I was talking to Minyard today, the mayor of Pine Island.
The Godfather.
Yeah, the Godfather. And it's been a pretty interesting winter bite. All the way from, I mean, we can probably say from October through now. And the Pompano in the Valley area, you know, we haven't caught, I mean, the St. Augustine.
I haven't caught any yet.
Yeah, when you think about it, you would think around, you know, the inlet, the sandbars and stuff like that and the real pretty water. But you guys have had a hell of a winter on Pompano in Palm Valley.
You know what? It's so darn weird, but you know what? There's places that Chip and I can pull up and go, what are you fishing for? Pompano. Well, you're going to do what? Yeah, we're throwing for Pompano right here, and we're going to pull one or three. And it's just weird, and they're healthy-sized pompano. And these are pompano that I guarantee were stuck in there all year. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, because they're like yellow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they are really, really gold yellow. I mean, they're solid 13, 14 inches at the fork size pompano. And, I mean, they're just, I mean, I get so damn excited when I see those guys come because they fight and they pull sideways so darn hard. And they're moving around real fast to go, that's one right there. Oh, let me get the net ready. And I use a shrimp for those guys primarily. But one thing that Willie also is a fiddler crab. I know for a fact they'll eat fiddlers. Because,
absolutely, they'll eat a fiddler crab. Sure. I mean, sand fleas are number one bait. You know, why would they eat a fiddler crab? Sure.
I caught a ladyfish today. I forgot to tell you about that.
You caught a ladyfish today? Mm-hmm. Well, they never left.
Huh?
They never left. Uh-uh. Yeah. I mean, it just never got cold enough.
Uh-uh. Caught them with a tree line right there.
Huh.
Iguanas.
I did lose a 40-inch bull the day before yesterday up at Pine Island.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was huge. You know me, I like using that light tackle, and I didn't stand a chance against that guy. He made it two times around the boat, and the third time he made a kamikaze run at the boat and went dead underneath the boat and got to the trim tab and snapped us off, but every bit of 40 inches.
So was that like on a piece of crab with a no-brainer or the mud minnow?
Nope, that was a mud minnow.
Huh, interesting.
You know what was caught this week, too? The first one? a 45-pound black drum was close.
Was it really a black? Well, what, it's the end of February.
It's getting close.
It's the end of February.
Yeah. There's a couple boats up there fishing them.
Yep.
A couple boats were up there fishing them this morning.
When's the full
moon? Was it in short? March? Scotty?
Next week. Yeah. It was right there. It's right there on the airport bank.
Okay.
Typical.
That's great.
Right there in the hole. They were whiting fishing. Caught on short on little gear. 45 pounds later.
Fucking a river mule.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just hope that this rain coming through doesn't muddy it up too much.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
it's dirty out there right now, buddy.
Like I said, looking at the forecast, Leon, for the next 15 days, looks like we're going to get a break, finally, on this rain. I mean, my gosh, either we need to, you know, dry up here and get some sunshine, and then my place in Georgia.
God, you got hammered up there for 4 days.
It's absolutely ugly. All right, Leon, we got to run, buddy. Great job, as usual.
Thanks, guys. Have a great evening.
All right, buddy. 641-1010, 641-1010. Give us a call. Right here on the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast with Captain Scott Shank. I'm Captain Kevin Favor. We'll be right back.
The Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I'm Captain Kevin Favor, sitting with Captain Scott Shank.
That's right.
And, yes, we talk obviously a lot inshore fishing this time of year, but first open window, bro. I'm ready for a sea bass trip.
Uh-huh. I'm in.
You know, and I don't know.
I know.
Nobody has fished it.
No, nobody's
fished it.
Well, the one picture was Captain Chad Starling up in Jacksonville, and they crushed him that one day.
Well, I say this.
They're big old white lip ones.
They seem to have a better sea bass fishery than we do because they have more ledges, natural ledges. And not only that, but honestly, the water's usually colder there, which is typical for sea bass fishing. I mean, it needs to.
I know. Mr. Travis is bugging me. And I just
I know. I mean. Not only that, but I'm getting the itch bad, too.
He says, you know that, if you got nothing to do and it's a pretty day, call me. But it's like, damn, Travis, there ain't no pretty days. I'm going when it's crappy.
There isn't. You know? I mean, and it's like we were looking at the forecast, you know, coming up. And, you know, obviously this weekend is not looking good.
Uh-uh.
You know, I mean, typical tonight, northwest 20 to 25. So let's just skip to Friday, northwest 5 to 10 on Friday, which is pretty, but
it's 36 degrees in the morning.
Well, Friday nights, west at 15 to 20.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so the thing is, there's no such thing as beach fishing this time of year.
Uh-uh.
You get outside of 3 miles, as rough as a dog. Sunday, northeast 5 to 10, 2 to 3, maybe, you know, I mean, maybe, but then on.
It had a big old swell on it today.
Yeah. On Monday, south winds 10 to 15, seas 2 to 3. So that's for us bay boaters. It's not a good forecast to go fishing. I'm not going to go and get beat up.
Because the older I get, I just don't want to do it anymore. I mean, I don't want to. It's got to be nice. I don't run a big boat. I don't want to get beat up anymore.
You just go catch a flounder.
Yeah, it's easier.
I know. I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. So, hey, just a reminder, let folks know, next weekend.
Next weekend.
You and I will be at Consignment Boat Sales with Guy and for the El Cheapo.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, can't wait. It's gonna be
interesting to see what Trina says this weekend with y'all on Saturday morning, see how many boats signed up already, because registration went.
Yeah, I would definitely get registered. If I was, it looks like the weather. I mean, looking at the extended forecast, it looks like the weather.
What did they have? 320 boats last year, or something like that.
No, they had more than that.
328.
Yeah, it was a lot.
It was a bunch.
It was a lot. Great tournament for $100.
Heck yeah!
You know, I mean, you can win. I think first and second prize is a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so but if you're not fishing a tournament, come by and see Captain Scott and I at Consignment Boat Sales, which is right across from Morningstar Marina.
Yep.
Right there by the Mayport ramp, and then obviously. This weekend from 7 to 10, the Nimnik Outdoor Show with me and Jeff Logum and Captain Kirk Waltz. So make sure you listen to us on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And then next Thursday, we're on, folks, 7-8. Don't forget.
Yeah, a lot of information there.
listen to the podcast. That way you keep scrolling, going backwards. That's what I got to do because I don't remember half the stuff I said.
That's very true. Folks, y'all have a great weekend of fishing. See ya.
See ya.